You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
The system used for years to help save marriages is now available to you. The Marriage Matrix can save you expense, personal embarrassment, and maybe even save your marriage.
I'm America's behavior expert, Scott Farrell. If you really want a shot at saving your marriage, get the Marriage Matrix today, and together, let's do this.
Call now, 844-HELP-US-0. That's 844-HELP-US-0. Or visit ismymarriageworthit.com.
Ford is recalling about 423,000 vehicles. The AP's Ed Donahue reports.
Ford says power steering could fail while being driven on 2011 through 2013 models of Ford Flex, Taurus, and Fusion, Lincoln MKS, MKT, and MKZ, and Mercury Milans. If the power steering fails, the car or SUV goes into manual mode, which makes it harder to control. Dealers will either update power steering software or replace the steering gear. Ford is also recalling more than 19,000 2015 Mustangs. High underbody temperatures could degrade the fuel tank. I'm Ed Donahue.
Greece's prime minister says his country is close to reaching a deal with its creditors. His comments come shortly after government officials said negotiators were to start drafting an agreement. A deal would unlock aid that would allow the country to make looming debt repayment on June 5th. Rick Santorum is running for president again. The former Pennsylvania senator is known as an aggressive advocate for conservative family values. He will make his announcement later today, surrounded by factory workers at a business near his western Pennsylvania hometown. The Obama administration says drinking water for 117 million Americans is going to be protected under new government rules. They'll shield small streams, tributaries, and wetlands from pollution and development. The rules from the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers are designed to clarify which of the smaller waterways fall under federal protection. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And good afternoon and welcome to Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas. We're trying something new this week. We're trying some theme music to see if we can get hopped up and ready to talk about design and make it sort of a party and a lot of fun. My name, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rich Kaderi. My company is Maven Hill Designs, located in Flemington, New Jersey. Actually, I'm at 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington in the Kitchen Expo Plaza within Rugs to Riches. And We started with our basic show in January, where we once a week I bring in people in the local area that work with me in my design business and give us the best and the most up-to-date tips on how to improve your home, where to go to find stuff, and give you great solutions for your home. About 2 weeks ago, we started with a second series called Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas, and that's more of a call-in show where you can contact us a couple of different ways, and which I'll give you in a moment, and we will answer your questions live on the air. It is now 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll be on for 1 hour till 3. If you'd like to reach me by phone, our lines are open, and the number locally is 908-237-0410. That's 908-237-0410. If you'd like to text me your questions, I'm going to read a lot of the text questions on the air today that I've already received. It's 908-884-0770 to text. It's 908-884-0770. And if you'd like to email me, the email address is CajunMavin, spelled CajunMavin at AOL.com. Again, three ways to reach me. One is by phone, 908-237-0410. Text me is 908-884-0770. And email me is CajunMavin, CajunMavin at AOL.com. Look forward to your comments, your questions, if you want to text me pictures of your rooms, which I've gotten a lot of, it's kind of nice to look at them and then read them on the air. Okay, I am going to start by actually doing the weather. And it says today that there is going to be a 30% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 87 degrees. I think it's going to probably thunderstorm this afternoon. Tonight it says it goes up to a 40% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 66 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, there's a 40% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 87. Thursday night, a 30% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 59. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 84 degrees. So it looks like we're going to have a couple of turbulent days here. A good time to maybe focus on your home and things that you could do inside to make your house better. All right, the phone lines are open. Once again, it's 908-237-0410. And I'm going to read some of the texts and emails that I got during the week on the air and answer your questions on our show. And the first question comes to me from Marianne C., and she's in White House Station, New Jersey. And she wrote, what can I do to make my formal living room less formal? Well, this is a really good question. This comes up a lot of times. When people are buying older homes, typically the biggest room in an older home would be the living room. And that was the room that people sat in, read in, did needlepoint in. That was the sort of main room of the house. And I think if you had the luxury of having a family room, that was a big deal, but that was probably more of a TV room in a small space. But in a lot of older homes with the original floor plan, the biggest room in the house was the living room. So a need to make the biggest room in the house more functional comes up in all of the projects that I have where the homes are a little bit on the older side. I'm doing one right now actually in Martinsville, New Jersey, where the living room actually runs front to back, and it's the biggest space in the house. And the room was not getting any use. It had a very formal Chippendale-style sofa and formal, you know, figurines and things of that nature. And it just was a waste because this was a room that had a lot of natural light. It had windows on both sides. It had a fireplace in it, and it was just being underutilized. So one of the things we did was we took a look at the placement of the furniture and the layout and saw what we can do. The first thing that I did was I decided that people don't go into a room, unfortunately, unless there's media, unless there's television, unless there's something else going on. So I decided that I wanted to add a television to the space. But the space is kind of attractive, and I don't necessarily find audiovisual equipment very attractive myself. So what I did is the customer and I went out and we purchased an armoire, a beautiful armoire, not too fancy, a mid-tone color, but an armoire where the big screen TV can be encapsulated in a piece of furniture. And what we did was we took the wall opposite the fireplace and we put the armoire, the big television armoire, on the opposite side. Then what we did was we changed the furniture placement and we put two long sofas on either side of that arrangement. So you had a sofa facing a sofa, in a more casual fabric with some pillows so they were very comfortable. And you could be sitting there. You had seating now for six people. If you look to the right, you had the fireplace to look at. If you look to the left, you had the TV to look at. And one of the advantages of doing two large sofas is, realistically, two people could lay at night in that room and watch the news and watch television in that space and have it be more of a casual space. There were bookshelves on either side of the room, and I got rid of most of the figurines and put more playful things on there and a collection of their books and just made the room look a little bit more casual. We took it from a white with a colored trim to a sort of a creamy beige color with white trim, and we put lots of pops of navy blue. We got rid of the heavy draperies and just did a very simple panel drape in a more casual fabric and worked with what the room already had, but gave it a much more approachable feel. And I'm happy to report now that that room is being used. That's where they're watching television at night. So don't waste your biggest room in your house. I hear this all the time. We're crammed into the kitchen or the family room. If that's your biggest room, make that more comfortable, make it more approachable. Okay, our second question that I had gotten this week, this was a text. It says, is the color gray currently in or out of style? My husband loves gray. I hate it. This comes from Linda L. in Highland Park, New Jersey. Well, gray is here to stay. I mean, it's a neutral, and gray is a color that's going to be in for a long time. I guess it always was around. It's been hot for a while now. I always say the new trend is blue. I'm seeing lots of blue, but gray's not going anywhere fast. So one of the things that I would suggest, because part of being in a relationship, Linda says that her husband wants a gray room, is compromise. And one of the things that's kind of good about gray is that you can pair it with other colors. It works well with other colors. So what I might suggest is do some of your things in gray and then work with a coordinating color. So perhaps if you painted your walls a pale shade of gray with white trim, you could do pops of yellow. Bright yellow and gray are a great combination now. You could do a lot of fabrics in yellow. You could do a pale yellow sofa with a gray and yellow accent chairs. That's a nice color that would not give you a totally gray room, but a yellow and gray room. So it would be light and warm. Another color I like with gray is green, citrus green. Citrus green and gray are really, really nice together. That's like a Granny Smith apple or sort of a lime green. And that could be maybe your walls are sort of a lime color, and then you have a gray sofa with lime accents. And then it's not so, you know, all intensive gray. You have pops of something that's sunny and bright. Another combination that I'm seeing is coral and gray. Coral is a terrific color. In that case, I'd probably do pale gray on the walls. Do maybe a sofa that has a lot of coral in it and do a combination of gray and coral. And another color that works well with gray is a teal or a turquoise color. And that could be used throughout the space. Sometimes, even if you have pale gray walls, maybe with some painted black furniture and a little bit of the teal color in the fabrics. That's also nice, a combination where you do have some gray and gray acts as a neutral, but it's not the defining color of the room. It's the accent color that's the defining color of the room. So that's certainly another way to go and would work very well in the space. My third question is from Ben A., and he's in Bridgewater, New Jersey. And he says, where can I buy affordable quality furniture? Well, that's a tough thing to do in our area. It seems that furniture stores are closing one by one, unfortunately, and there are not that many opportunities for us to go to a real furniture store and check it out. One of the places that I always recommend for my customers, and she's been a guest here on the show, is Bassett. And Connie is my rep over at Bassett Furniture. They're actually in Dunnell, and I've been saying Greenbrook. The physical mailing address is Dunnell, New Jersey. It's Route 22 East. Oh, I apologize. Route 22 West in Dunnell, New Jersey. They do a really good job of making quality, affordable furniture. What they do is if you go into the showroom there, which is a very approachable showroom, is you can go around, if you see whatever piece of furniture you like, you can change the chair, you can change the arms, rather, if you buy a chair, you can change the legs, you can change the fabric. It's very custom, and they make their furniture in 30 days. All the furniture is made in the U.S., and it's a very quality, affordable product. So I recommend Bassett Furniture a lot. There is a family-owned furniture store I also like to work with. It's called Satriano's. It's in Califon, New Jersey. They do a nice job as well. They have great pricing. They're family-owned. It's sort of off the beaten path, but they also do a nice job as far as furniture is concerned. So those are two off the bat that I do recommend for furniture. And it looks like we're just about to go to commercial. And we'll see, again, if you'd like to reach me, the phone number here at Design Dilemmas is 908-237-0410. And we will be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, ceremony officiant with CelebrationOfALifetime.com. I joined the Chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel, iron.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed, they're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at HunterdonChamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
I'm sorry, we are back with more of Modern Design. Just a technical difficulty there. A little bit about me. Again, my name is Rich Scuderi. I'm an interior designer for the past 16 years. And I'm located right here in Flemington, New Jersey at the Kitchen Expo Plaza within Rugs to Riches. If you'd like to check out our showroom, we have about a 2,500 square foot showroom with quite a bit to choose from in terms of furniture, accessories, beautiful rugs, things that are unique. We're featuring a couple of different local artists. John Schmidt is one of them. He has a lot of work in Frenchtown and does beautiful watercolors and scenes. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit different, a gift, something that's unusual. Another thing that I do at Maven Hill, which is a really nice gift, especially for a housewarming, shower, wedding gift, is I do gift certificates for design. So if someone's planning to move into a new apartment, a new house, a new condo, what better gift than the gift of design for someone, and they can help them get started in their home. So if you're just tuning into us today, our show is called Modern Design, Design Dilemmas. And what we're doing is trying something that's a little bit more interactive. I know that could be challenging sometimes because we're an internet-based program, but I do get calls throughout the show, which is going to continue now for another half hour until about 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But also I'm receiving, as we speak, texts and emails from people with their design questions. So we'll continue with them and see if we get any live calls today. My next question comes to me from Edna B., and Edna B. lives in Ringo's, New Jersey. And her question is it okay to do a beach theme in my house? I am in Ringo's and nowhere near the beach, but I love the tranquility and the tropical colors of a beach theme. Well, this is a very relevant question because a lot of design right now, I get the trade magazines, and one of the things that I have the advantage of is I'm usually one up on what's coming out. So if something's in the stores, I've already seen it for a while because I'm getting the stuff, you know, from the previous season. I'm getting the stuff for the next season. I know what's in and what's coming up. And beach is really hot. Beach is hot right now because we're in the season. But even in the wintertime this year, all my stuff was a lot of beach, a lot of blues and tans, a lot of beach themes. Shells are really popular, probably more than ever. And I say, you know, beach is more organic. You know, I don't think you necessarily would do every room in your house in sort of a beach theme, but there's a serenity to things that are related to the beach. There's a reminiscence of maybe a simpler time. And there are a lot of elements of beach that are sort of, you know, universal, water and sand and nature and sky. And I think it's perfectly good to do a beach theme in your house. I find that I'm using shells a lot in my design. Sometimes I'll take clear glass temple jars and I'll fill them with shells. Shells are absolutely beautiful and they're a very inexpensive way to decorate. I'll do them at an entrance. I'll do them on a sideboard. I'll mix the elements of beach in with other elements as well. Also, we're starting to see a lot of simpler woods, less fancy woods, a lot of things that represent driftwood, gray woods, casual. That's very beach as well. I'm working with in a project where we're doing a new kitchen table, and we're going to do something that looks like old driftwood in sort of gray tones, and then we're going to do benches on each side of that. So that is, even though that room has nothing to do with beach, there is a little bit of a beach element to it. Also, the beach colors, the light blues, the gray tones, they're beautiful, soft colors, and they really work well in any environment. So don't feel that because you're not at the beach, you can't do beach themes. Navy blue and white are always popular, and they have sort of a beach look to them. Tans, even using sand. I did a project where I took, again, with glass cylinders, and I filled them with different colors of sand. And that was kind of a nice look. And feel free to incorporate always natural elements, whether it be, plants or things related to nature or things related to beach or, you know, things that are related to anything with that are natural that work well in design. And don't be afraid of that as well. Okay, let's see what we have here. This is Larry B. He texted me, what can I do to prevent my rugs and furniture from sun fading? Well, actually, this is a problem that many of us have. And in fact, I have it myself and have been less than proactive in taking care of it. I personally happen to have two skylights in my house, which 10 years ago I thought was a terrific thing. Now I think is a terrible thing. Because skylights flood your house with light, but they also flood your floors with light and your picture frames and your window treatments and so on. And sun fading happens very gradually, but one day you'll take a look and you'll say, oh my goodness, I've ruined my things. One of the things that I like to do, I use a local guy, his name is Jim, and he does something called sun control. And that is a film that's really undetectable, can be undetectable to the eye. And it's a film that he can heat wrap and wrap around your windows and your areas that are exposed to sun and put a permanent solution that you can barely see over your existing windows. And that will prevent UV and from heavy light from coming into your space. Now, I should qualify that. He has different levels of sun coverage, and some of them actually can be, the window can be somewhat dark, so that's not for everyone, but certainly the first and second grade level of coverage is terrific. It's almost undetectable to the eye. And every job I go on, I do recommend that we do at least a quote to get a sun shield, a sun film on the windows. Very inexpensive, very affordable, and really saves you on your things. I did do my windows in my home, but I did forgot to do the skylights. And that really, you know, once you start fading your hardwood floors and spots, that's very hard to take care of. So I highly recommend you do some sort of a shield of window tinting film with a UV protection. Okay, let's see. My next question that I got, this was also an email. Looks like her name is Donna Lynn and the last name is B. It doesn't tell me where she's from. I assumed it's New Jersey. And it says, I am tempted to paint my family room a shade of lime green. Love lime green. But am terrified. Maybe I should start with an accent wall. Okay, accent walls are coming up a lot lately. In fact, this morning when I got up, I was watching Good Morning America, and they were talking about accent walls. And there is a, sort of a mixed reaction when they were talking about doing accent walls in rooms. I personally love an accent wall because of the some of the newer houses being so open. It's very hard to dedicate a dark color throughout a space because the spaces are just so open and there's nowhere to divide them. So I'm a big fan of accent walls, and I usually like to do that if there's a fireplace. That's a great wall to do an accent wall because there's enough stuff, other stuff like the fireplace mantle and the trim going on. So if you pick a really bright color like a lime or a real dark color like a charcoal, that they work because they're not too dark for the space. So I'm a big fan of an accent wall. I say if you really like lime, go for it. You could do a pale shade of lime green throughout the space, and if it's too bright for you, then you can go ahead and maybe do a darker version on the accent wall, and that sort of balances as well. It tones it down, if you will. But lime's a great color with a nice crisp white trim and white ceilings. And you can pair that with gray. You can pair that with other colors. You can pair that with navy blue. Navy blue and lime green are terrific together. And I just say go for it. You know what? I say to people most of the time, it's only paint. Every week I do color consultations for people. In fact, I have one today at 5 o'clock. And it's only color, you know. The worst thing you have to do is you paint over it. But don't be afraid. Don't be the beige in every room, because you really miss out if you don't explore color. And then what happens is if your color's too good, then everybody wants to copy it. So don't, if you get a color you like, don't tell people what it is. Say a designer did it and I don't know what the color is. Okay, looks like our phone lines are kind of slow today, so I'm going to read another one. This was a text that I got about 10 minutes ago. And it says, oh, what did she write here? I like wallpaper, but my husband does not like it at all. What do you think of it? Should I go in for wallpaper? Well, I don't know your history with wallpaper, but here's what I hear from most people. Most people say that their husbands or their partners don't like wallpaper because they're remembering moving into the house and peeling off other people's wallpaper. And in years ago, people didn't prep the walls before they wallpapered them, and then the sheetrock paper came off with the wallpaper, and it was just a disaster. I'm going to tell you something that I say on the show all the time. I absolutely love wallpaper. I think wallpaper is a terrific thing. Wallpaper is not for every room in your house. A little bit of wallpaper goes a long way. I'll say what I say all the time on the show. In any house, I like a combination of beautifully painted walls with white trim and white ceilings, a little bit of wallpaper, and maybe a little bit of faux paint. And that gives a sense of balance to the house. Wallpaper, again, does something that nothing else does. It adds a layer of complexity. It adds a layer of texture. It just is, it's terrific. But I tend to like wallpapers that serve as backgrounds. And a good way to detect, if you can take a piece of art and put it against the wallpaper and it doesn't clash, then you will be fine. People got in trouble in the 1980s when they were doing these big vines and fruit and flowers and stuff, and then they didn't work with anything else, and they became dated because they were just too busy. But if you take a grass paper, something with texture, the new geometrics, which are really hot right now, look into geometrics if you're looking to do something that's up to date in a gray and white or a sand color and white. They're terrific. Do a paper like that, something that's going to stand the test of time, something that's another level of texture. And those will be good solutions for you. So, Mary, my answer to you is forget about your husband. Go get that wallpaper and make it work. Just make sure it's not too bright. Okay, we're about to go to commercial, and we'll be back shortly. Oh, we're going to go to news, and then we'll be back shortly with more modern design.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Officials in Texas are trying to stop a dam from breaking just south of Dallas that could destroy homes and flood a highway in its path. Meanwhile, many areas of Houston are flooded and the rain is still coming down.
We're in this kind of wet pattern at least for the next week or so, perhaps a bit longer, until we get into more of a typical summertime pattern where most of the storms track further north.
That was forecaster Dan Riley from the National Weather Service. 17 people have died and 12 are still missing outside of Austin when floodwaters picked up a house off its foundation. The U.S. Justice Department says 14 people, including two vice presidents of soccer's governing body, have been indicted today for allegedly acquiring millions of dollars in bribes and kickbacks.
All of these defendants abused the U.S. financial system and violated U.S. law, and we intend to hold them accountable.
That was Attorney General Loretta Lynch. This is USA Headline News.
This report is brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb. It is estimated that 2 in 5 people in the U.S. will develop cancer in their lifetime. While surgery, radiation, or cytotoxic therapies have represented the mainstay of cancer treatment, long-term survival has remained elusive for many patients with advanced cancer. To help educate the public about a recent area of cancer research, immuno-oncology, Bristol-Myers Squibb is partnering with Emmy Award-winning actor Eric Stone Street to launch a new initiative, Ready, Raise, Rise.
Cancer has affected me my entire life, and while I lost several family members to cancer, I'm proud to say my mother is a survivor. Her brave fight against the disease showed me the importance of cancer research, which is why I've joined the Ready, Raise, Rise campaign to help raise awareness for immuno-oncology research.
Eric is encouraging everyone to go to www.readyraiserise.com and post a flag to honor loved ones touched by cancer. Each flag posted with the hashtag #RaiseYourFlag will help raise funding for cancer advocacy organizations.
And we are back with Modern Design. It looks like we have a caller on the line. I'm going to see if I can pick up the call. Let's try. Okay, caller, are you there? Caller? Let's see if we have the caller. Caller? No, looks like we lost the call. Let's see if we try that again, see what happens. Oh, let's try this. Okay, you're on the air with Modern Design.
Hello. Hello.
Terrific. All right, what's your name and where are you from?
Yes, my name is Daryl, and I'm calling from West Orange.
West Orange, New Jersey. Okay, well, thanks for listening to Modern Design. And what is your question to us?
Yes, I was wondering if you could tell us what the current trends are in window treatments. I have an apartment now that has vertical blinds, and I know they're very dated, and I'm just looking to find something new.
Okay, very good question. Yes, vertical blinds, they were very effective for what they did, but over time, vertical blinds, I know everybody has the visual of the one or two blinds that like just the individual slats that come down and never quite go back up. And they seem to be very much dust collectors, so they're not necessarily the best solution. You saw them a lot on doors, on sliding glass doors, but they were also used on windows and not necessarily the most attractive or up-to-date looking things. Also, shears. I don't see people using shears that much anymore. They're kind of out of date, too. So for my listeners, besides my call, gentleman who's calling in, my listeners out there, take those shears down. Let's get some light into those windows. I'm a big fan of a couple of things for window treatments. Well, first of all, and I don't know, everybody feels this way. If you have a view that's sort of private, I don't have a problem with, if you have a beautiful view and you have a nice clean window, I don't have a problem with not having an under treatment. That's something that doesn't necessarily block the light, and then just doing something around the window. So for instance, in a space like your living room or dining room on a first floor, if you have a beautiful private view in the back, I'd love to see you just do some panel drapes with a rod and keep it open and not necessarily do anything there unless there's an issue with very heavy light in the space. But most of us are kind of concerned about light, and that's where I think the composite blinds, the 2-inch faux wood blinds, in the same color as the trim, are probably one of your best solutions. They're very affordable and economical. If I could ask caller, what color is the paint trim in your house?
It's white.
It's white. Okay, well, you know what they do now is they do a lot of inside mount window treatments. That means that the under treatment or the treatment to block the light will be within the framework of the window. So if you do that in the same color as the trim, it seems seamless and it's really nice looking. It's not overbearing. So I do like 2-inch faux wood blinds and painted out white if you have white trim. If you would have trim that was stained, then I'd probably go with a color, a wood tone that matches the stain as the under treatment. So that's always good. Another thing out that I'm liking a lot for window treatments is solar shades. And they're just a very simple pull-down shade. They kind of have a mesh look to them. They're good about absorbing the light. They're very minimalist and very clean, but they're a nice window treatment that fits within the space. And if you have more of a contemporary sense of decor, they work well as an under treatment. So those are two of my favorite. As far as the outer treatments, panel drapes are probably bigger than ever. But drapes have changed a lot. Old draperies were very heavy. They had tassels. They had all sorts of things going on. A simple cotton drape, a simple drape that just goes to the floor with a nice wood rod or a nice metal rod with panels that just touch the floor are always a good way to frame a window and to keep a room current and up to date. It's a way to bring pattern into a room and to tie colors together. Another thing that you can do, which is very popular right now for window treatments, are Roman shades. That's the shade that's fabric and then has sort of an accordion look, if you will, that you can keep up most of the time and then have down if you want to have light come in or out. And finally, if you're going to do bedroom space, you always want to do a blind underneath. That's a blackout shade for privacy and to prevent the light from coming in. So those are some of the window treatments that I've been working with. Anything sound interesting to you or
yeah, that
ideas?
Sounds good. I like the fold-down shades.
Yeah, the fold-down shades are very, the Roman shades are very nice. You can have functional Roman shades or you could have stationary Roman shades, and both work well in the space. But don't Google, when you get a chance, Google solar shades and take a look at them as well. They're a nice practical solution, and if you get the right look, you can do just a simple solar shade with a lot of texture in it. And you can have it up or down, and you may not need anything else on the window, so they're an affordable and good economic solution.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Kohler, thank you very much for tuning into Modern Design, and you have a good day.
You too, thanks.
Bye. Okay, looks like we talked a little bit about window treatments there, which is good. Window treatments come up a lot. I think people are very intimidated by window treatments. Window treatments in the past have been expensive. In the past, we saw a lot of Dupioni silks, very expensive tassels, very expensive thing. And I see window treatments becoming a lot more casual. I think life is becoming a lot more casual, and window treatments are becoming a lot more casual. So that's kind of a good thing. I think people shouldn't be intimidated by design. Design is meant to make a space seem more comfortable. So you don't want to do stuff that puts people off and makes them feel uncomfortable. All right, phone lines are open. If you want to reach us here at Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas, our phone number is 908-237-0410. That's 908-237-0410. It's now 2:39 Eastern Standard Time, and I'll be on the air until 2:58. So please call in with your questions. If you'd like to text me, if you're shy and want to text me your pictures or questions, the text number here is 908-884-0770. 908-884-0770. And if you'd like to email me, sometimes I get emails during the week and I save them and I read them on the Wednesday show. It's Cajun Maven, spelled C as in Charles, A as in Apple, J as in Jewelry, U as in Under, N as in Nickel, M as in Maven, A as in Apple, V as in Victor, I as in Ice Cream, N as in Nickel, Cajun Maven, all one word, at AOL.com. Again, our phone lines are open, 908-237-0410. In the meanwhile, I'm going to read the next question that I received, this I received during the week, and this is about outdoor. I think I'm getting a lot of outdoor stuff right now because the weather's been so good. People are looking to upgrade outside. And this comes to me from John S. This is, I think that the question, this is also Bridgewater, another one in Bridgewater, Jersey. And it says, my shutters and doors are original to the house. They are white on a brick house. Should my shutter color I choose be the same as the front door, or can it be different? Okay, This is a good question as well. And this comes up with a lot of different styles house. I'm just going to take a leap of faith that you're, because it's a brick front, it's either some sort of a traditional, either a ranch or a colonial. And you can, in fact, pick a color for your house. And I do not like white shutters, and I do not like a white door. Save white for your trim. And I don't know what color brick it is, so it's hard for me to help you pick a color this way because I don't have a picture from what you sent me. But they could be very different. Some combinations that I like on brick, you're always safe with black. Black and brick look really nice together. So if you have black shutters, if you have a brick house, whether it be a light brick, a medium brick, or a dark brick, you can always do a black shutter and a black front door with a knocker and a kick plate. That always looks very classy and very nice. Another combination that looks really good is if you do a red, like a brick red. You don't want to do a red if the brick is too dark, so they might contrast each other. So maybe a brick red front door and then black shutters. That's a nice combination too on brick. Green is always a nice combination. You could certainly do any shade of green, from a dark hunter green to a medium green to a blue green. And in that case, I would do the shutters and the door in the same color. And that's really nice offsetting the brick, especially if it's more towards a lighter brick or a terracotta color brick. Navy blue is one of my new favorite colors. Navy blue with brick is a very pretty combination. White trim around the windows and the door trim, and then a navy blue, and that's a nice pop of color as well. When you paint your doors and your shutters, you want to make sure that the... at a minimum, that the shutters and the door are painted in a semi-gloss trim, because you want to have contrast, you want to have sheen. And also, when you have sheen, it also is it prevents the breakdown of the paint. So the more sheen, the more coverage you get from the elements. So those are some of the colors that I think work well with brick. And I encourage you to get out there and paint. And, you know, changing a front door. I mean, often just a pop of color at your front door really makes a difference in the way a house looks. I know I'm very, I do some staging. I'll tell you, I do about 30% of my work is staging, and we always paint the front door. We want to make it appetizing. We want to get people to drive past that house and say, let's book a showing because I want to see the inside of that house. Okay, the next question comes to me from Beth C. This was a text that I got, and it says here, do I need to, this came up I think last time about mulch. People are mulching a lot now. Do I need to remulch every year, or can I make it last to every other year? This is a very good question, and I want to talk about mulch in general, because mulch is something that really can change the look of the outside of your home. And for those of us that are not sure what mulch is sort of a breakdown of wood, of trees, of bark, and so on. And they come in different colors, and you fill your beds with it because it prevents weeds, and it gives a nice clean look to your planting bed. So there are two ways to handle doing mulch in the first place. One is you can contact any, I like Rucker's Landscaping. They do a terrific job. They're right in Flemington, New Jersey. But you can use anybody in the area that sells mulch, and they will come by the truckload and deliver mulch to your door. You can put it on a tarp. You can put it in your driveway, and you can spread the mulch in the beds and freshen the beds. The other way you can do it is with bags. I've used both methods. If you have a smaller home or a smaller area of beds, I kind of sometimes like the bags better, because you can cut the bag at top and sort of just drag the mulch and then spread it out. But in answer to your specific question about mulch, yes, in fact, if you put the proper amount of mulch down and you tend to use a darker mulch, which I like, you can get away with a second year. What you need to do at the beginning of the season, as we are right now, if you have mulch that was down last year and it didn't dissipate too much during the winter, is actually completely go to those beds and flip that over. You have to really aerate the mulch all the way around the beds completely and freshen it up. And you can get away with every other year, because mulch is an expense. And just a tip that I have, and I've given this on the air many times, I tend to like the mulch that's called dyed black mulch. And when you get the bags, it's going to be a soft black color. But a tip, that mulch oxidizes very quickly. That is, if you have a dyed black mulch, within a couple of hours, it already looks like a dark chocolate brown. On the next day, it's dark chocolate brown. If you do a mulch that's a red or a lighter color mulch than that, the color seems to go away and fade, and you have something that looks like it needs to be replaced. So to stretch your mulch, make sure you put enough mulch down in the beginning. You can either do it with bags or have a delivery to your house. But if you do a good dark mulch and you have enough on there, it will last a second season. Just make sure you aerate it, go to the bottom up, and turn your mulch around. So that's a good tip as well. I think it'll save you some money. Okay, the next question comes to us by Bob F., and he is in Glen Gardner, New Jersey. And he writes, what flowers are the best to be deer-resistant in a garden? Well, I do some work in consulting on gardens, but it's not my forte. I'll just tell you what they've told me at Rutgers Landscaping and by my own life experience. I've kind of learned through trial and error through my homes, being in Hunterdon County for 15 years, of what works and what's deer candy. I think that varies upon person to person, but there are some general rules that always seem to apply, I think. You want to stay away from certain things in general. Hostas, if you're familiar with that, those are something that I love a lot but can't have because they are kind of like deer candy. For me, geraniums are also have been a no-no for me. They get eaten, and as soon as they're up, they just certainly don't work for me. Something else is black-eyed Susans. I didn't have much success with that. And hydrangea. I know many of you like hydrangea, but in our Hunterdon County and in many areas in the Northeast, those are just sort of deer candy, and it's very expensive deer candy and heartbreaking when you have something just about to come to fruition and then it's gone the next day. Things that I like to use, I just recently have finished my plantings in my yard. I like to do plants that the deer don't even want to come near. And one of the things that you can do amongst your plants is herbs. Things like chives, if you plant chives in a garden, chives will give you a beautiful purple flower, and deer don't touch it. They don't go near chives. And it's a pretty look. It gives you a pretty flower, and then, of course, you get the plant, which is very nice. There are, you know, certainly a lot of other plants. Rosemary also is an herb that you know that the deer won't go near because it's an herb, and that gives you a soft color flower as well, very deer resistant. And easy to use. Anything that has a bristle to it, anything that's rough against a deer's mouth and so on, are usually better bets. You don't want anything that's too soft. One of my neighbors planted arborvitaes, if you know what they are, and they were just sort of eaten. By the end of the season, they kind of looked like mushrooms, so they weren't necessarily a good fit. A plant that I like that has been considered deer resistant, although I've seen them eat it once in a while, is Coreopsis. Coreopsis has a light yellow flower, and the deer seem to stay away from that. So that tends to be a good flower to plant in your beds. But you know, it's they say that if a deer is hungry, they will absolutely eat anything. With exception of things that are poisonous to them. You're always safe in the springtime by planting lots of bulbs of daffodils because the narcissus bulb are supposedly poisonous to deer and they will not go near them. So that's always a safe bet to do. And there's another plant called foxglove, which I believe is also poisonous to them. So they stay away from that. But you know, you're going to have to do trial and error your own area of your home and see what works for you. So we'll have to get the Rutgers people back in to go through the list of what's a good planting. All right. Here's a good one. This comes up a lot. My son is 5 now and wants to update his bedroom. What is a good color for a boy's bedroom? This is something that kind of surprised me when I got into the industry. I guess I grew up with a Bermuda blue bedroom. I always thought that boys wanted blue for their bedroom. But the number one color that boys ask for, young boys ask for in a bedroom is not blue. It happens to be green. Actually, a lot of girls are looking for blue, but they're looking for more like a purpley blue. I really do pink. If I do pink, it's in like a baby's room, and it's a combination of a brown and a pink. But it's green is the most popular color in a boy's room. And tell you some of the things I've been doing in boys' bedrooms because they often are kind of staid and boring. I like to you know, see what's out there. If you go to Pottery Barn for kids, they do a really good job. The Short Hill store does a really nice job. You're going to get some ideas. I like to put wainscoting in a boy's bedroom. Easier to maintain, a real high wainscoting, if you will, and then just do a little bit of paint in a saturated color. if you're doing mostly wainscoting painted out in white, you could use a navy blue. There's a color I like, a Benjamin Moore color called Dill Pickle, which is kind of a neat sort of mid-tone green, which is nice. That's nice for a boys' room as well. Gray, any sort of gray in a boys' room works out very well. And again, with putting some texture, some wainscoting on the walls, that's always a nice thing for a boys' room. Another thing I did recently in a boys' room is I did sheets in sort of like a camouflage. And in this case, I used sort of a blue camouflage, which was unusual. So we did sort of a blue camouflage and lots of wainscoting, and then a sort of a gray-blue color on the walls. And it was kind of sharp. It was something a little bit different. Khaki is a great color for a boys' room as well. Khaki is nice with nice white trim. And then you can throw whatever accent color if you want. If you want to throw charcoal with it, if you want to throw olive with it, if you want to throw whatever color you want, that's great for a boys' room as well. Okay, let's take a look here. This comes to us from Joanne S. from Sayreville, New Jersey. And Joanne says, I currently have a sofa and love seat in my living room, and I'm looking to do new furniture. Can you recommend a better setup or a different setup? I am so used to the same thing. I want to step out of my comfort zone. And then it says here, my room is a small rectangle, doesn't give me the dimensions. It says there's a fireplace on one wall and two windows on the other. Okay, I have no way of knowing what your room size is, which sort of predicates what we're going to do in the space. But let's maybe look at it in a general terms for both you, Joanne, and then for our listeners. Let's say you have a cube, a rectangular cube, if you will, and you say you currently Joanne says she currently has a love seat and a sofa. So I would say that would probably be the traditional L, and I would just assume that across from the fireplace wall would be the sofa, and then I would imagine the love seat would form an L in the space. And that was a look that was quite popular for a very long time and still is popular. I like to try a couple of other things. When you have a fireplace on one wall and you have windows on the opposite side, you might want to try doing two sofas facing each other. That's a combination that's kind of nice. It invokes conversation. You can get six people in that way if you had to, or four comfortably, and then you'd have a nice, you can view the sofa, you can view the fireplace, or you can view the outside from the sofa, so that's a nice combination. A combination that I have done a couple of times that I like a lot is a low table, a low round table, and four modified or lower comfortable wing chairs. And that's a terrific space for a living room. Again, living rooms tend to be less formal than they were before. And if you have a low round coffee table and four low wing chairs or even high wing chairs, you can play board games. You can come back from a restaurant and serve coffee and dessert on them. You have a wide surface to work on, and it's relaxing. A lot of people tell me that they like their own chair. So four chairs in a room with a low table is another option you can go on. Two sofas facing each other is a nice combination you can go on. You can also see if you can, with the if you can fit it, do two sofas. Love seats sometimes are tough. If you have a group of people that are unrelated, two people in a love seat is sometimes uncomfortable. So if you have the extra space, I would do two sofas, even if they're in the L configuration, maybe with a couple of chairs. And that's a way to go with that. Okay, we're at 2:54, which is going to give us just about 4 minutes left. If you'd like to call in today, our phone number, again, here at Modern Design is 908-237-0410. That's 908-237-0410. And I will be here each Wednesday, first from 10 to 11 for Modern Design, where we do an interview each week with a local resource related to design, and then from 2 to 3 every Wednesday where you can call in. Okay, our next call here, let's see who this is from. This comes from Jennifer G. in Manville, New Jersey, and it asks me, is it a good idea to take away my powder room to make my kitchen larger? Wow, this is a very loaded question. I did see this happen once before in a project I was doing in Bedminster, and they did opt to pull out the powder room and have the guests go upstairs. Here's where I think it's probably not a good idea. people always want their kitchens to be bigger. It's the heart of the home, and I agree with it. But a powder room, to me, is critical on the first floor of a house. Personally, I don't like my guests going up to the second floor of my home if you have a two-story home. I think there's a privacy issue if you have somebody coming to work on your house and so on. I just think having a powder room could be absolutely tiny. You could even take from the powder room and make it smaller. All you need is a very small sink and a commode, which don't take up a lot of space. But to completely eliminate a toilet and sink on the first floor is a bad idea in my estimation. Number one, I think it's bad for resale value. But two, just from your current functioning in life, I think a powder room is critical on a first floor. I've often added powder rooms, even if they were very tiny, to a first floor just to make it functional so people weren't going upstairs. Let upstairs be baths, upstairs baths be private, and let downstairs have a powder room. So I think it's definitely a bad idea to take away a powder room from a home. So that's just my personal idea. Okay, and let's see what we have here. This comes from Joanne B., and she's from Parlin, New Jersey. And Joanne writes, do people still use Berber carpeting in basements? My current Berber is 20 years old and needs to be replaced, and I don't know what to do next in my basement. All right, basements are a great resource if you have an older home and you don't have the ability to go out. They're a great way to add square footage to your home without spending a tremendous amount of money. But one of the things that always concerns me about doing any carpet in a basement, whether it be Berber or a cut pile carpet, is the fact of moisture and water. And more than not, with a change in our environment and the water table, a lot of people have wet basements. So I'm not particularly a fan of carpeting in basement at all. I'm a big fan of tile in basements. And my recommendation typically is to do a nice large tile, 18 by 18, 20 by 20 in a basement, and then do some sort of indoor-outdoor rugs or beautiful area rugs on top of that. That's good for a couple of reasons. God forbid you ever get water into the space. You just mop off the tile and you're in very good shape. And then if you do an indoor-outdoor rug, they look very nice. You put them out to dry and you're in good shape. Water and rugs don't really match. So I would stay away from Berber carpeting and carpeting in general in a basement. That's just my general opinion on that. So, okay, it looks like we're at 2:58 right now. So we're at the end of another show. We will be back next week, same time, 2 to 3, with more of Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. I thank you for supporting us. I'm getting, as you can see here, I've been getting all week long, I've been getting questions to read in on the air, and I appreciate your support. And we will see you next Wednesday with more of Modern Design. Thank you, and keep coming with those questions.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Texas officials say the threat of a dam breaking southwest of Dallas has passed. The water is spinning over the dam, but the volume has decreased. Meanwhile, many areas of Houston are flooded and more rain is in the forecast.
If it continues doing this, it could be between 1 and 3 inches at least, and that will contribute to any further problems.
That was forecaster Paul Lewis from the National Weather Service. 17 people have died and 12 are still missing outside of Austin when floodwaters picked up a house off its foundation. The U.S. Justice Department says 14 people, including two vice presidents of soccer's governing body, have been indicted for allegedly acquiring millions of dollars in bribes and kickbacks.
These individuals, through these organizations, engaged in bribery to decide who would televise games, where the games would be held, and who would run the organization overseeing organized soccer worldwide.
That was Attorney General Loretta Lynch. This is USA Headline News.
Gorgeous! Oh, you are the most beautiful bride I've ever photographed.
Oh!
Yes! I am witnessing a fairy tale unfold!
Oh, I don't want this day to end.
Okay, work the veil. Uh-huh. Okay, now sniff the bouquet.
Oh, okay.
Join my rewards program.
Wait, what?
Well, for your next wedding.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobil, Nationwide, Rite Aid, and Direct Energy. There's plenty together. Learn more at plentywithanI.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with a radio transmission. Are you listening to a news radio broadcast right now? Breaking news, folks. Stop listening to that news anchor's jibber-jabber and get the real scoop. My summer meals have 8 pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, new Kentucky Baked Beans, coleslaw, 4 flaky biscuits, and a half gallon of Dole Classic Lemonade, and it is available for purchase. Okay, then, that is the end of my radio communication. Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's finger-licking good.
Limited time offer. Pricing and participation may vary.
Congress wants to know how thieves got their hands on taxpayers' personal information. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
It's rarely good news when you want to